But if you will give us your attention, we gather here tonight to remember our Lord Jesus in the way that He ordained 2,000 years ago. And we're thankful for all that are here this evening. Thankful for these good ministers who have come to help us tonight in the service. And I think it's appropriate to have communion at night because in the scripture it is referred to as a supper. But whenever we do it, we want to do it in remembrance of Him. So, you brethren, will.
Let's turn to 172. Down at the feet of Jesus, I go in humble prayer, seeking in broken spirit to find a comfort there. Though I am just a
holy word, oh, that little
each other's fever is shouting in heaven fair. Oh, that little old church where the message is free and we shake each other's hand. In that spot no more so I can see the rich blessing from glory land.
Number 63.
That dreadful night before his death, the Lamb for sinners slain did almost with his dying breath this wine so red. as we meet in memory sweet, let love and fellowship flow. For this might be the last for me, before I homeward go.
Thank you, brother. Those are beautiful words and really help to explain why we are in this assembly tonight. I came across a verse recently I wanted to share with you. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That just says it all, doesn't it? He died for me. And that's why we're here tonight, to remember his death in the way that he himself ordained. We're thankful to have Brother Wynn Cook and Brother Dan with us to serve us tonight in the supper. I'm going to ask Brother Wynn to come first and Brother Dan to follow. Brother Frank King, would you lead us in prayer at this time? Let's join together in prayer.
Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Father, for another day in life. We thank thee, Father, for this another opportunity to come up to your house to worship and to adore thee. And we thank thee, Father, that we can come here and sit around this table that thou sat around over 2,000 years ago when thou broke the bread and drank the wine. Cried out, this is my body that's broken for me. This is my blood that is shed for me. Father, we gather here tonight to remember your darling Son, Jesus Christ, that went to Calvary and paid the price that we could not pay for you and redeemed us out from under the curse of the law, precious Father. And by thy grace and by that of thy mercy, that we'll be housed with thee in the heaven, in the immortal glory. We'll be able to behold your face in peace. Oh, Father, as we endeavor to go into the funds of this service tonight, we pray, Father, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit that is among us, and that it would guide us and would direct us as we endeavor to go into it. And as we go into it, Father, each and every one of us, in that of our heart, in the depth of our soul, Father, help us go back to that time when Jesus paid the price that we could not pay. Father, we beg all of these blessings and favors in the name of Jesus and for his sake. May they all be granted. Amen.
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 God bless you, Brother Dan.
When we all came in tonight, we knew what we were here for.
Brother Wynn, would you come and use the mic? Okay.
We knew what we came for, but if you think about that 2,000 years ago, they didn't know what they were going for. They didn't know what they were going in. Can you just imagine everybody start walking in these doors and you could feel it kind of change from what it normally is. You know, we're walking the doors on a Sunday night, you're kind of laughing and you're, you know, joking with everybody and we're talking to everybody, we're all over walking around. And you come in tonight, you have a different feeling. As you're doing, you're thinking about already. As you started driving here, we already started thinking about what we were coming for.
Amen.
We were coming because of what Christ did for us. And how big and how monumental it is of what he did for us, we're coming in to do something that is to remember that. And give glory to God for it. So we knew what we were coming in for. Think about the disciples that were coming in. And they came in, they were going to the Passover Supper. And then they start to go into something that has not been instituted. has not been started. That Christ was starting right there.
Right.
And he says, okay, this is going to be something you're going to do. And now some over 2,000 years later, we're doing the same thing that they did at the table with Jesus Christ. You say, well, they were at the table with Jesus Christ, and he's instituting it. We're at the table with Jesus Christ. We're at this table with him right now. Right now tonight. Every time that we come to church and we experience the presence of the Lord, we're at the table with him. And how amazing that is, and what a blessing it is that we get to experience it. We should never take it for granted. He says that over there in Matthew 26, it says, and they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. He gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. You know, when he says this, he says the same thing in Mark 14. He says, take, eat, this is my body. But in Luke 22, he's going to say something different. Luke 22 is my favorite one of the Gospels, of the account of this. He says, they took bread and they gave thanks and they break it. And they gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's given for you. Everyone out there in the world thinks everything's given to us. And it's us to make our decision what to do with what he's done and what he's given up and how he died for us, what he died for. He didn't say he gave himself to us here. He says he's given himself for us. For us is a much bigger thing because he was giving it to God Almighty for something that we couldn't do.
Amen.
He said, I'm paying this for you. I'm giving my body. I'm sacrificing it up for you. I'm not giving it to you so you can decide if you want to accept or turn down or decline or do what you want with it. He didn't say I'm offering it to you. He didn't say that. He said, I'm giving my body for you. When you think about how powerful that for you is, so I started looking at that last night, thinking about the for us's, like what he's done for us. Ephesians 5 and 2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, another offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Notice it was for us, to God. That's where his sacrifice went to. It went to God. We are the beneficiaries of that broken body. We're the beneficiaries of him being the sacrifice, of him being that sweet savor, that sweet smell to God. We're the beneficiaries of it. We're not the ones that get to choose what happened to it, or if it's going to be applied to us or not applied to us. Nowhere is it where we get to do anything with it. It wasn't to us, but it was for us. That's how great it is. He tells us in Titus 2, he said he gave himself for us that we might be redeemed, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a special people. He didn't say everyone. He didn't say opportunity for everyone. A special people. Right here tonight, he is telling us that we're a special people. We are a peculiar people. We're different than the ones out there. And you say, how do we know for sure? Because we're sitting at the same table of what he offered up for that body some 2,000 years ago. That's why we know we're special people. We might not always feel like it. We might not always look at one another and think we are. We might forget it. When we sit here, we should never take it for granted that we're special people. We're special people because the Lord said we were. We're special people because he gave his body for us to be something that we could not be, to be broken for us, because no matter what we will do in our lives, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't be enough. And so that's why in John 3:16, when he says he gave his son, John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Most of the world is going to say, see, he gave his son to us. Oh, he gave his son to come down so he could give, his son could give himself for us.
Amen.
That's how great it is. It's not something likely to take that he sacrificed for us. Not to us, not for the opportunity of us, but for us is what he did. So when we take this bread in a few moments, we take that, you remember that what this bread represents. It represents a body that was come down from heaven above, that had the greatest spot that there was at the right hand of God Almighty sitting there. And he said, God Almighty said, I love that people, that special people down there. And the Son said, I'll take care of that to get them up here to be with us, to be with you. I'll do it. How? I'm going to sacrifice my body for them, to you, that they can be here with us one day.
Amen.
You think about that conversation, and you think about what we're doing right here tonight. We're blessed.
Amen.
We should be thankful for it each and every day. If you'll go with me in prayer. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you tonight to thank you once again for the blessings of being able to be a part of this supper. Lord, being able to be a part of what you've instituted some 2,000 years ago and being in your church to be able to participate in it, Lord. We'd ask that you'd help us to never take this time for granted. Never take for granted one another. And the special time we have, Lord, we thank you for you sacrificing your body for us, that we would be able to have something, an eternal salvation, Lord. We thank you for that great blessing. We'd ask, Lord, that we remember that we need to live in a way that we can show we have an understanding of what you've done for us. We just thank you for all these many blessings, Lord, and this special time that we get to spend with you. For all these things, in your Son's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll ask our deacons, if they will, to come and sit here. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. If any member of the church has not been served, please raise your hand at this time. Thank you, brother.
I'm going to read something from the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians. After the same manner, also, he took the cup. When he had sup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you can show the Lord's death till he comes. I love till he comes. He's coming back.
Amen.
He shed his precious blood to redeem, Brother Wynn says, a particular people. I refer to him as an elect people. Paul makes that very plain in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Jesus Christ emphatically taught that he had a people and that he was coming back to take them home with him. Because he shed his blood to redeem them. I suppose everybody here tonight knows what the word redeem means. It means to buy back. You're bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it was precious.
Amen.
It paid the sins of all of God's children all over the world. Not one sin of any individual that belongs to Jesus has a sin that can be accused against him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It was Christ that died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross to redeem his people from all their sins. And one day he's coming back. That's the wonderful news, isn't it? I will confess that I've had some doubts in my life. I hate that I have had doubts, but I have. But I haven't had very many in a long time. I forget exactly how many prophecies there is in the Old Testament concerning Christ is coming and what he would accomplish for us. And I've read recently that way over half of those have been perfectly fulfilled to a dot and to a tittle. That washed away a lot of my doubts. There's no one but God that can do that.
Amen.
And God sent his Son, whom he loved dearly, into this sin-cursed and ungodly world to die the shameful, agonizing, awful death on a cross and to suffer as no individual had ever suffered before and shed his blood as a ransom price for all of his children. We all shout that. Shout because our sins are gone. Shout because one day we have a sweet hope. We have a sweet hope that's an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast, which is entered into the veil where Christ, our forerunner, has already entered. Isn't that a wonderful, strong hope? I heard somebody say one time, I don't remember exactly who it was, said sometimes I can feel a little tug on that hope. And I know what he meant. Sometimes I can feel a little tug when I can see just how much Jesus loved me and he loved you. I said at Old Grove Communion, if all of us knew just exactly how much Jesus loved us, we'd be ashamed if we didn't walk in his ways.
Amen.
He loved us so much. Peter described the blood of Jesus as precious blood. He said, we're not redeemed with such things as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight, when we leave this place, that we can say with Peter, your blood was precious. And I believe it's precious. And I thank God that through thy blood, thou hast bought me. I'm not my own. I belong to Christ. Isn't that wonderful, Paul? Just think about that. We belong to him. We're not our own. I've had people say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I hope I'll always say, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. I may not do it, but I know I need to do it.
Amen.
I know it's the way. I know that there's blessings in obedience to God's word that God's children receive during time. There's a blessing that we're receiving tonight as we have met to remember his broken body and shed blood for you and I. It's a blessing to be able to come together with God's children and hear the good news from a far country that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left glory to come into an ungodly and sinful world, be spit upon, slapped, his beard pulled, be beat with many stripes. He could count his bones, and he did it because he loved you. That's how much he loved us. May God help us to know it and to appreciate it and to love him and appreciate him as we should. He's worthy, isn't he?
Amen.
We sing that song sometime that says he's worthy. And he is worthy. He's worthy of all of our praise. And we should give him all the glory. And thank you. I'm afraid sometimes that I'm not as thankful as I should be. But I know I should be thankful because I know every blessing comes down from God to his children. May God help us to truly be thankful and to thank him for his coming and giving his life on the cross, shedding his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. If you'll bow with us, we'll try to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we trust that we come to Thee as humble as we know how, to truly thank Thee that Thou wast willing to leave the glory of heaven and to come into this earth that Thou had created beautifully. And now it had been marred by sin, but Thou loved us still enough to leave the glory of heaven and to come down into this world and shed Thy precious blood to save all of us from our sin. Truly, dear God, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for this wine that we will drink tonight. It is a beautiful emblem of Thy shed blood that cleansed us from all of our sins. We say once again, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. If you, brethren, will come and serve the church, and Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. I'd like to inquire if any member has not been served. Please let us know. Thank you, brethren, for serving the church tonight. In John's Gospel, or John's account of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, in chapter 13 and verse 4, we read, "He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, no fellowship. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed through the blood of Jesus needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all. the supper had ended. Jesus had shown them the bread which represented his sinless and broken body, and the wine represented his precious and redeeming blood. And the supper was over, because that represented all that it took to save his children from their sins. The broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. That's all that's on the table tonight. And that's all it took to get God's people into heaven. The one sacrifice Jesus made. So why did he do something unusual after the supper? He got up and laid aside his outer garment, girded himself with a towel, poured water into a basin, and got down and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he said, "If I, your Lord and Master," and he is, "have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Why did Jesus give us the feet washing service? Well, I want to go back just a moment to Luke chapter 22. And Luke's account tells us in verse 24, after the supper had been ended and the feet washing. And verse 24, and there was also a strife among them. That's the 12 apostles. And what were they striving about? Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Now, he had just told them they need to wash one another's feet. They didn't really get the message, because they're striving among themselves as to which one of them is the greatest. Do y'all think that was an appropriate question? What if somebody got up here at Cool Springs in our conference and said, "Brother Moderator, I really want to know who's the greatest member of this church"? If I did my duty, I'd say, "Brother, you need to sit down and be quiet." That question is out of order in the house of God. Baseball teams may try to decide who the greatest player is. That's fine. But in the house of God, you and I are to be one another's servants. Jesus said you can't even get into the kingdom until you humble yourself as a little child. And Jesus gave us this service as a visible reminder of where our place is. You know where my place is in the kingdom? At these brethren's feet. That's where your place is in the house of God. You know, Jesus said to the apostle Peter, "Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat." But he said, "Afterward, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." Now, the apostle Peter was among those who were wanting to know, "Am I the greatest?" Jesus told him, "When you are converted, strengthen the brethren." And we know Peter cursed and swore he didn't even know Jesus that night. But later he was converted, and he wrote a wonderful epistle to encourage and strengthen all of us. And I want to read to you now what he said in 1 Peter chapter 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Has that ever strengthened you all? Jesus told him, "I want you to strengthen the brethren." Well, I want to tell you, I have been strengthened my entire lifetime in the church by the writings of our beloved Apostle Peter as he humbled himself and taught us to humble ourselves. And, you know, if everybody will do that, the church can get along very well. Would y'all agree with that? There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're just all poor sinners saved by grace. And we gather around this table tonight to give him the glory. I was asked to go to Augusta today to conduct the funeral of a longtime friend of mine. He had suffered from Parkinson's and dementia the last 3 years. And last time I saw him, he looked very feeble. When I saw him today in the casket, he looked 20 years younger. The burdens of life were gone. And he's just asleep in Jesus. And as I spoke to that congregation today, I had the privilege of telling them, this brother will live again. Because Jesus said, if I live, ye shall live also. And I pray God will comfort that family as they look to the crucified and risen Savior. May the Lord bless us as we go now into this feet washing service. And let's remember for the next 365 days where our place is in the church. It's not just tonight, but it's tomorrow night, Sunday night, and Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July. I want to tell you all where our place is, at one another's feet, serving one another. And who knows how many opportunities we'll have in the next year to serve one another, to take a dish to a home where there's sickness or death, to send a bouquet of flowers, to send a card in the mail, to pray for one another. We have opportunities all year long to wash one another's feet. I mean, y'all certainly take care of me spiritually. You serve me in so many ways. When you pray for me, when you attend church, when you say, Brother Sam, God bless me through your message, we're serving one another. How many of y'all want to be servants in the house of God? How many of y'all want to be served? Well, you know, in order to have a feet washing service, you've got to be willing to let somebody wash your feet. That's a humbling experience. But may God give us tonight, through the Holy Spirit, the attitude of humility. As Peter said, clothe ourselves with humility. It's a beautiful garment in the house of God. And if we all remember what sinners we are, it'll be easy to be humble, won't it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us as we go in to the washing of the saints' feet. Help us to do it from our hearts. And help us during the coming year to remember our place in your house as servants to your people. Thank you, Father. If you, the King of Glory, would bow down and wash the feet of the apostles, surely we should be willing to humble ourselves and wash one another's feet. And may we find joy in this service tonight. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Help us to do it with joy, with happiness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you will, please give me your attention just a moment. The scriptures teach us that supper being ended and the feet washing was over, that Jesus and his disciples sung a hymn, and probably one of the songs. And that would have been something to hear, wouldn't it? Those voices singing at the end of that service. And then they went out. There was no prayer at the end. So we want to do that tonight. Brother Donnie, if you'll select us a song we're familiar with. And we're going to have a handshake tonight and ask our brethren, all of you, to go around and shake hands with Brother Wynn, Brother Dan, and form a line here. And then we'll have our sisters to come around and shake hands with the brethren and with one another. And if you, for some reason, don't feel comfortable because of COVID, we understand that. But we miss a lot of not having a handshake. So let's... 140. And if you, brother, will go over and shake hands with the elders and form a line. 140.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing all. The Father turns His face away as wound which bore the chosen one brings in His Son to glory. Behold the Man upon the cross, I sin upon His shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice, all proud among the strongest. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was a breath has brought me by. I know that it is painless. I will not boast in anything. No years, no time, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His coming and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot kill that but this I know with all my heart, is how paid my wrath.